All right, let's get started. Welcome everyone in the room, and a special welcome. You know, we have a brand new feature this year. We are live streaming this event. So thank you for all of you who are joining by live stream. We're happy you're here and love the energy in the room this afternoon. Glad you all made it to us. So let me introduce myself. I will be your MC for today's session. So I will do an introduction of our speaker. And then at the end of the session, we will have time for Q&A. So be thinking of all those questions that you want to ask. My name is Rhonda McGown. I'm our Executive Vice President and Chief Strategy Officer at Broadway Bank. And I'm very happy to be, we're very happy to be here to partner with the Texas Women's Conference today. Let me tell you a couple things about Broadway Bank because they've given me the opportunity to be up here and I want to make sure I honor them. We are the largest independently owned bank headquartered in San Antonio. We have locations across San Antonio, across the Hill Country, and here in Austin as well. The story that I like to tell about our company is that we were founded a few years ago by Colonel Charles Cheever and his wife, Betty. And soon after we sort of stood up the organization, he got called away to war. And so according to the family, she was sort of left on her own to kind of figure things out with this brand new entrepreneurial endeavor that they had started. And so there was a series of telegrams, and she's sort of painting a picture of things are a little tough, a little tight. And according to the legend, he basically said, you know, I'm really focused on just staying alive. Just kind of do whatever you got to do. And so what I love about that story is that over 78 years later, we have such a strong legacy of women leadership at Broadway Bank. And we've got great female leaders and role models in a number of key executive positions across the company and also on our board of directors. So I get to get up every day and figure out ways that we can create opportunity, funding, credit for entrepreneurs, business owners, all of you in this room, so that you can go forth and do the things that you're trying to achieve in your life. So that's part of what I love about being at Broadway Bank. One of the things we get to do is to really contribute and support organizations such as the Texas Conference for Women. I want to make sure that if this is your first year at the conference or if this is your 20th, do we have anyone who's been here all 20 years? Surely. No. But if you've been here and this is your very first time, what I also love about the conference is you've got no choice but to take something away from it. There are sessions, there are resources, there are tools, there are connections, there are folks that you might know from previous companies that you get to run into and make that connection again, folks you've never met. And so I love that it gives us all an opportunity to figure out that one thing that we can take away to really help carve the paths that we want in our lives, with our families, in our careers, in our companies, in our communities. And so that's really valuable. The other thing that I love, and that brings us to the session today, there are always a lot of certainly inspirational things that I feel like I take away from this event, but there are also a lot of just really practical tools and advice. And so thank you for being here at the session. We are here to talk about how to be heard through effective communication for career advancement. And I get the honor of being able to introduce our speaker today. Charmaine McCleary is here, and she is a C-suite advisor, a keynote executive speaker. She's an executive coach. She's an authority in executive presence. She's had the opportunity to work across 27 different industries, 5 different continents. A lot of her top clients are in organizations such as Coca-Cola, T-Mobile, MasterCard, Johnson & Johnson. And in her spare time, she's on the faculty of the University of Missouri, Kansas City Block School of Management in their executive MBA program. And she is also a lecturer at the Smith College Executive Education Program. The thing that's really important about Charmaine and her work is that she has a track record of success. Through her 2 decades of experience, she has over 98% of her clients who get promoted within 18 months. And so it's no wonder that publications such as the Harvard Management Update, Forbes, People Magazine, the New York Times feature Charmaine in her work. So it's an honor to have her here today. Please join me in welcoming Charmaine to the stage.
Hello. Hello. Good afternoon. Great. Today, we're going to have a conversation and a dialogue about what it means to be seen, heard, and recognized for what you do well, so that it moves you forward and up, so that people of influence see and hear your contribution to the organization, so that you are not a well-kept secret. Now, I hope this is important to you because it's important to me, because when you leave here, I want you to leave with some skills, tools, and strategies that are going to move you forward and upward in the trajectory of your career. Not only in your career, but in your life. And for any of you who are familiar with Bobbi Brown Cosmetics, or any of the cosmetics companies, and you go to the counter and you tell them that you want to look fabulous, and they say, yes, you can, and what you realize is that you can't replicate it the next morning. You've got to sleep on your back. Well, the difference here is that today you're going to have an opportunity to work in this room, in this safe environment, and craft your narrative. You're going to have an opportunity to do that for yourself and then also with a colleague. So this is going to be very interactive. If you have questions, I want you to ask, because I'm not going to be a talking head. What I want for you is I want you to not be invisible. I want you to be very visible. And that if the feeling of invisibility ever returns, that you'll know exactly what to do to become visible, to ensure that you are seen and heard and recognized for what you do well. Because the thing that we want least in our life is to not be heard. It is our natural inclination to want to be affirmed. And what you're going to have an opportunity to do is really define who you are and how you want the world to see you, how you want the world to hear you, and what your expectation is from the world in terms of how they receive you. Because this is really about having dominion of yourself. You heard Tracy Ellis Ross speak about her own ownership, just having ownership of yourself. Because in order to be heard, you've got to want to hear yourself. You want to be able to hear your own voice and have real confidence in that voice. Because that is essential for your career trajectory. Now, the reason why I can guarantee you that you will be successful if you use any one of these principles that I share with you today is because it requires practice. With practice, I guarantee you, you will shift how you are seen in the world. You'll shift how you see yourself, which is the most important. And you'll shift at how you speak in the world, and that you will really take your rightful place, your spotlight. But it does require practice, because some of us many times think that, oh, I don't have to really think about it, it's no big deal, or it'll just happen instantly. It doesn't. Anyone who's successful, it happens because of practice. It's not an airborne disease, it doesn't come through the ventilation system, and it surely is not a pill, because if it were a pill, I would be sitting in the south of France on my chaise lounge by the river while you all prepare for my retirement. So it requires practice, because one of the things that I want is I don't want you to be invisible, and I don't want this to happen to you.
We have got to cut costs, people. Ideas?
We could open an account on FedEx.com, save 10% on online express shipping.
Okay, how about this? We open an account on FedEx.com, we save 10% on online express shipping.
That is wonderful. You just said the same thing I said, only you did this.
No, I did this.
Makes all the difference.
Bingo.
Right on the nose.
Now, I don't have stock in FedEx, but I probably should. And we all have, there's a lot of nervous laughter in the room, and there's nervous laughter because every one of us has had that feeling of invisibility, where you've not been seen or heard or recognized for what your contribution was. Now, this is an overdramatization, and we make the assumption that the person sitting at the head of the table is, in fact, the manager or the boss. But it's because that person may have simply assumed that role, assumed their place. And the truth is that when I walked up on stage, the same way that that took place there, you all made a judgment about me. Do I look, sound, or act the part in the way in which Rhonda introduced me? Was I sitting going,
Well, hello, I'm excited to be here, and we're gonna have a really great day.
You're thinking either somebody was on drugs or they fell asleep when they decided to have me here. Because you want to not only just look, you wanna know that you really have ownership of what it is that you're going to say and how you're going to say it. Because I don't want that feeling of invisibility to happen for you. But before I go further, I have this really compelling story that really illustrates my point. I want you to imagine it's a fall day and it's drizzling. And I know it's a drizzling day because I typically get up and get dressed and go in my office, even though it's my home office. And I look like it's drizzling outside. And I get a call from one of my clients, Cheryl. And Cheryl says, "Charmaine, I am so excited." I said, "I can feel your excitement." I said, "What is it?" She goes, "I'm just thrilled." I said, "What is it?" She says, "Charmaine, I have been asked to become the CEO of an iconic publicly traded company." Now, we both did a happy dance together, because I know I was. I was thrilled for her. And she said, "But there's one caveat." I said, "What is it?" She said, "The stock is in the toilet." I said, "That ain't nothing but a thing. We'll fix that." And the question that I ask her, which is the question that I ask all of my clients when I work with them, is what do you want as an outcome as you become CEO of the company? What do you want as an outcome when you become director? What do you want as an outcome when you become senior manager? What do you want the company, the world, to look like when you take that role? And she said, "You know, what I want to do is I want to make a difference. I want to make a positive difference in the lives of the employees and also our customers." I said, "Great." Now, my client is 6 feet tall, so the fact that, you know, she can walk in the room, but she really had to get clarity on what, not only what she wanted as an outcome, but how she wanted to show up. Because I'm a believer, if we do not define ourselves, others will, and their definition will inevitably be inadequate. I'm going to repeat that. If you do not define yourself, others will, and their definition will inevitably be inadequate. You've got to decide what that is and who and what you're representing. Think of yourself as an ambassador to yourself. And I said, "You know, your first day at work is like your first day at school. You're going to set the standard of excellence, what your expectations are, what you want people to deliver. But what's really important is that you are seen and heard." I said, "So how do you want to be heard?" She said, "Again, I want to be heard as the leader that is here to make a difference." Now, I'm happy to say that she was heard not only by the employees, she was heard by the customers, she was heard by Wall Street, she was heard by her board of directors. She was heard because she communicated about the results. And that person is Cheryl Batchelder. She was CEO of Popeye's Louisiana Fried Chicken. Their stock went up 416% in the time in which she was CEO. Inc. magazine named her number one CEO. Why? Because she shifted how she began to communicate about herself, about how she communicated about the company, and about the employees and the customers. They all felt that they had a vested interest in showing up and being their absolute best. And she shifted how she communicated. She really communicated about the results. And that's one of the things that you're going to learn to do today. So about 20 plus years ago, I was interviewing CEOs and senior level executives of corporate, of Fortune 500 companies, and actually global companies. And I asked them, I said, "What makes you more successful than other people?" And they all said, "Charmaine, it's not because I'm smarter than everybody." They said, "It's about how I leverage the information and the value of that information. That's what makes the difference." And I created these six principles. The first is communicate the vision. And what that means is that you're communicating the vision and not the task. And that's going to be really key here in our work together. The second is speak in headlines. And the third is your three must-make points. The fourth is create witnesses. Because I say hard work without a witness is simply hard work, and who the hell needs that? The fifth, don't audition for the part. And the sixth, embody your message. Now, I'm going to jump right into it because I'm going to give you an opportunity in about 8 minutes to do an exercise, because you're going to create this for yourself. In fact, I'm going to, on this in terms of communicating the vision, Communicating the vision again does not mean you're communicating the task. So if I leave my office, if I have a vision, or my office manager has a vision, when you have a vision, you can engage people. When you engage people, you can influence them. When you can influence them, you create community. When you create community, you can then have transformation. But many times what we do is we begin with a long litany that has nothing to do with our vision. And we wonder why we can't get people really excited and moving. So communicating the vision is so important. And that means really identifying what do you want to have as an outcome when you go to that meeting or whatever it is. And then the very next one is speaking in headlines. Now, Michelle Obama can definitely speak in headlines when you think about the initiatives that she had as First Lady. But communicating and speaking in headlines means you're really seducing the eye and the ear of your audience. You're compelling them to listen because people love an irresistible idea, an irresistible insight. But you have to think about how do you want to stage that? How do you want to set it up? And so when you think about watching the news, how many of you watch the news? Whether it's on your phone or it's on the computer, yes. And you watch the news and what they tell you is, we've got this story, man eaten by alligator. And you think, oh, I live in Florida, maybe I need to watch this. And so you stay tuned to listen, and what you get is at the very end, when the news is almost over, you find out that he was actually bitten by a lizard and he just needed to have a tetanus shot. But it grabbed your attention and it pulled you in. And what I want you to do is do the same thing. That when you're speaking, I want you to pull people in because I want you to really take your place and realize what kind of impact you can have. You have an opportunity, again, to seize the attention, which means people will look at you. And so how many of you in the room are shy and don't want anyone to look at you? Okay, we're going to get over that. And you can begin practicing today with us here in this room because people are going to look at you when you have something of significance to say and when you say it and you ask for their attention. So speaking in headlines is very important. And that is, again, the headline is capturing your vision and saying it in a way that lets people know what you want as an end result. And the very next one, which is so important, and one of my clients used this, it's the three must make points. There are three questions every audience has. Why should I listen? What's in it for me? And what do you want me to do about it? Those are the three questions that every audience has, and you had that question for me. You said, why should I be in this room? And I'm telling you the reason to be in this room is because you want a shift in terms of how you see yourself, a shift in how you communicate about what you do, so that it moves you forward and up. And whenever you have a meeting, getting really clear on these three questions is essential so that you can really have control of that meeting and get the kind of results that you want. How many times you go to an update meeting and all you hear is a laundry list of everything that people have done? Yeah, you are so bored with that meeting. The only meeting you need to attend is the meeting that cannot take place without your brilliance and your insight. And when someone invites you to a meeting, you ask them, what role would you like for me to play? And what kind of value would you like for me to bring to the room? If they can't answer that, they're not prepared for what you have to say. They're not prepared for your power and for your influence. And so I would say, don't go to the meeting. But really thinking about what are your three must-make points. And so one of the ways of, one of my clients I began to work with, I asked her in the very beginning, I said, what would you like to have as an outcome of our work together? She said, I like three things, Charmaine. She said, one is I want to be on the corporate jet with my CEO, wearing a big floppy hat, going to the Kentucky Derby with my client on that same corporate jet. She said, second thing I want is I want to go to get my PhD. And the third is I want to run a leadership institute. Now, this client worked for a Fortune 10 company, I'll even say at Coca-Cola. And so we began working together, and I asked her the first day, what do you do? She says, I'm senior director of sales and marketing. I said, that's really great. I said, so what do you do? She said, I'm senior director of sales and marketing. I said, okay, I got that. What do you do? She goes, Charmaine, I told you, I'm senior director of sales and marketing. I said, I've heard you for the third time. What do you do? She said, that is what I do. I said, no, honey, that's your title. I said, how many employees are there at this company? She said, 49,000. I said, if there are 49,000 employees, how many people do you think are senior directors? She said, oh, about 1,500. I said, so what distinguishes you from everyone else? I said, that's a really crowded field. There are a lot of senior directors in this organization. I said, and you're senior director of sales and marketing? I said, tell me a little bit more about what you do. What's the outcome? What's the vision about what it is that you do? And she said, well, you know, I mean, I told you, this is it. I said, so if I'm the CEO and I'm walking down the corridor and you tell me senior director, like, what am I, you know, there are a lot of them. She said, well, no, that is it. So I began to peel away the onion during our conversation. And what we found out is that she was actually responsible for the fastest growing market segment of the organization. Now, this is a true story. I met with her on a Wednesday, on Monday. She's at the elevator bank. Now, this is rosewood, Asian vases, beautiful rugs. And this gentleman walks out, and he's kind of lost. And she says, can I help you? And he said, oh, yes, I'm looking for the CFO's office. He said, I'm new here. She said, great. And he said, are you new here? She says, no, I'm not. He said, so what do you do? She said, I lead the fastest growing market segment of our business. Are you familiar with so-and-so client? He says, oh, I've heard about this campaign. She goes, lovely. So they have a conversation. She walks him over to his office. When he returns after his meeting, he invites her to a reception that you can only attend if you're a VP and above. Now, if she said she was senior director of sales and marketing, where do you think she would be? At the elevator bank, continuing to give people directions. That would be her new responsibility. She attended the reception. I'm happy to say that she did receive her PhD. I didn't get it for her. She had to put the hard work in for herself. But a year later, where was she? She was on the corporate jet with her CEO, with her big floppy hat, getting ready for a mint julep, and the CEO of her client. Why? Because she changed how she saw herself, and she changed how she allowed other people to see her. She shifted the value of the work and her contribution to the organization. She shifted how she began to speak about all of the initiatives that she was responsible for, and having her team shift how they spoke about the work that they were doing, because the work was of value. The work was important. But she had to make that shift for herself so that she could empower other people and pass the baton for them to do it as well. So she ended up leading a leadership institute for a Fortune 5 company. But that would not have taken place if she had not decided to take the risk of shifting how she spoke about her contribution. How many of you say, oh, I'm the manager of HR? There are lots of managers of HR. What we're going to do today is I want to have you shift how you speak about yourself. Is this resonating with you?
Yes.
Are you sure? Because
yes.
You are a quiet room, and I'm accustomed to people being a little rowdy. Okay. All right. Good. What was that comment? Oh, processing, okay. Well, you're gonna have an opportunity to really process because you're gonna put this into action. And I'm gonna probably call you, second row, up to the stage. I'm gonna show you one other video because I feel that it really does illustrate this point, because you're gonna have an opportunity in just a moment to put this into total practice. Now, I love this person.
I want to thank you guys for coming out.
Oh, Jamie, why don't you tell us what's new in IT?
Gotta keep it short.
Oh, well, we just implemented DFS and a new SAN. And also, we enabled shadow copy for shared folders on our file servers. It enables users to get back lost documents on their own without calling IT. And it'll save us hundreds of thousands of dollars, which...
It'll do what?
With new Windows Server 2003, you can do more with less.
Automated system recovery.
Now, I love Jamie. He's a smart person. Jamie didn't get it until the end because he decided, oh, I saved the company hundreds of thousands of dollars. That's how you start. That's not how you end. Because we live in a clicker society. And when do we stop clicking? When it sounds good and when it looks good. Because my husband drives me crazy. They're over, I don't know how many channels there are. And he clicks until I said, call me when you find out what you want to watch. because I'm not interested in that other process. When you think about being in a meeting that's an update meeting and everybody is simply going through their laundry list of everything they've done, hell, I don't care what you did. What I want to know is where are you and what's different and where are we going to go? That's actually what I want to know. I don't need to know the detail about what you've done. If I need that, I'll pull you aside. But when you begin the meeting by saying, where we are today is X. Now, this will allow us to complete this project within so-and-so period of time. That is a difference than just giving me a laundry list. Because I don't want to know that you're busy. When I return to my office, and if my office manager says, you know, Charmaine, what I've done is I've taken things from pile A and made them into pile B, I don't want to know that. But if she says to me, Charmaine, what I've done is streamlined our filing system so it allows us to be more customer-centric, it makes it easier for us to find the information that we need, that is value. Moving from stack A to stack B is not value. I could hire anybody to do that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you an opportunity to do this right now. And I'm so excited because I have two volunteers. What is your name? Yes, second row. Dina. And then Tina. And then I also have a story I'm going to tell about Jordan. This is someone I met last night. So what I'd like for you to do is I'm going to give you 3 minutes. And you know what? I'm going to be really kind. I'm going to give you four. I'm going to give you 4 minutes to craft your narrative. And I want you to communicate it by identifying what is your vision, meaning what's different in your company when you finish doing what you do. When you do what you do really well, what's different? So if you're an attorney for the company, one of the things you might do is mitigate loss. But thinking about what is the end result when you do what you do really well. So for example, when someone asks me and I'm on an airplane, what do? You know what I say? Do you know what I don't say? What was that? Right, I don't say I'm an executive coach. Why? Because somebody may have just read an article about executive coaches in the Wall Street Journal and they say that they all suck. So I don't want to be defined by what's in the Wall Street Journal. I'm defining myself. So what do I say? I help smart people get promoted and communicate the big picture. I provide executive coaching to leaders of iconic companies. Now, I did that all in one sentence. So I've already told you who I work with and who do I work with? Come on. That's right, because if they're dumb, I'm not working with them. Don't want them to ruin my record. Second is that when I work with them, what happens? They get promoted. And why do they get promoted? Because they're communicating the big picture. Ooh, smart group, that's right. So that's all in one sentence. I have articulated the value that I bring to the table in one sentence. The value, the contribution, not my title. So what you're gonna be tasked with right now, I'm gonna give you 4 minutes, and I want you to identify what that is for yourself. Your title has to come at the end. I do not want your title at the beginning, and the other word that you can't, there's a word you cannot use, and it's the word professional, because everyone in this room is a professional. You have all worked hard and earned your stripes, so no professional. Are you guys clear on this assignment? You sure? You're ready? Because if you get this, and you might not get it on your first try, because this requires finessing it over time, it will shift how you see yourself, and it will shift how people see you and how they speak about you. So go, 4 minutes.
If I can have some.
Okay, time is up. Now what I want you to do, how did that feel? First of all, how did that feel?
Intimidating.
Inspiring, okay, okay. And your name is?
Angela.
Angela? You said it's inspiring?
It's intimidating at first, but once you start thinking about it, it's very inspiring that you're thinking about other words that would actually describe you.
Yes. Yes. Because what it does is it really does shift how we see ourselves. You know, how many of you have gone in to ask for an increase in a budget? Mm-hmm. And you're thinking that you're playing out of your pocketbook, as my grandmother would say. and you will go and ask for the least amount because you think, oh, well, I don't want to make any waves. It is going to be a project that is going to make a difference in the organization. If the organization values it, then you need to provide, you need the money that is appropriate for that budget in order for you to execute. So you, playing small does not help you. Playing small about what you do or any of that does not help you. Okay, so what I'd like for you to do, now that you're inspired, I know a little intimidated and some of you anxious, and some of you all of it at one time. What I'd like for you to do is I want you to introduce yourself to the person that's seated next to you, and I'm gonna give you 3 minutes each for you to share, and I want you to give each other feedback. And the one thing I wanna say before you get started about feedback, and I'm very clear about this, is that if the feedback is blowing smoke, don't give it. The feedback needs to help the person make a difference. When I have had a coach in my career, and I've had two coaches, I want to know the 411. I want to know the truth. One, that's why I'm paying you, and two, you have an expertise, and I want to know the difference because I want to get better. If you only want to hear that, this is just so wonderful, I really like it, it sounds so good, the person's not telling you the truth. And they're not going to help you to get a promotion or a raise, and I can help you to get a raise because all my clients get raises. So what I'd like for you to do is to introduce yourself to the person seated next to you, and then I want you each to give 3 minutes. I will tell you when the 3 minutes is up. Timekeeper Kimberly Young, if you would tell me when that 3 minutes is up. Okay, introduce, now begin. Right. Woohoo! If I can have your attention, please. I like it. There's energy in the room, positive energy in the room. Now, a couple things. Your name is, sir?
Nathan
at Broadway Bank, just so our sponsor, Broadway Bank Nathan. Nathan said, you know, one of the things about the Coca-Cola story is that there was a defining metric. Fastest growing market segment. How many of you know how much money you're responsible for? Okay, let me just tell you this. How many of you think you're not responsible for any money? Right, because if you're not responsible for money, you're unemployed. Because everybody that has, everyone that is being paid is responsible for a certain dollar amount, and you need to know what that is. I like money. I am a generous capitalist, but I like money. So you need to know how much money you're responsible for, and if you don't, it's sort of like trying to run a household and you don't know how, you have zero idea how much money is in the bank. I want to know how much I have so I can know how much I can spend, how much I might want to have in my stock account, but you need to know how much money you're responsible for. How can you ask for money if you don't know how much you have? So I want you to do that. How many of you are responsible, like Jordan from Applied Materials, who when I met her, she said, I am a project manager. I said, great, what kind of project? She said, well, you know, we have semiconductors. And I said, okay, I got that. And I said, so tell me a little bit more. She goes, I'm a project manager. I said, hell, there are a lot of project managers. So what does that mean? And what I found out as I began to ask her questions, I said, who are your top clients? She said, Samsung and Intel. I said, do you know how much money they're responsible for? How much money do they, what's their profit? And then how much is the profit of the business that you're helping to grow? She goes, I don't quite know that. You need to know that. Because then you can say, let's just, I'm going to play with numbers because I'm just going to make you like, really, really fabulous, is my top client is responsible for 35% of our gross sales or our net sales. And one of the things that we do is I drive that. So let me back up for a moment. Project manager, how much money are you responsible for if generating?
$418,000 a day.
Did you go do your homework last night? So how much, you said
$418,000
a day. $418,000, I like that number, $418,000 a day. Okay, so if that's what you have to produce a day, what would that be in a year? I'm not great with doing the math. Okay, so it's a lot. Okay, I'm just gonna say it's a lot of money, a whole lot of zeros. So let's just say that she's responsible for $150 million in sales, because I like that number better. It's round, it's large, a lot of zeros. $150 million. So one of the things that she does as project manager, she ensures that they're able to generate $150 million of profit for the business by ensuring that their top two clients, Intel and Samsung, have all of the pieces and products needed for them to produce their end product. So now she knows how much money she's responsible for. That makes a difference in terms of how she speaks about what she does. Because when she says project manager, what does that mean to you?
Nothing.
Right, a whole lot of project managers. How many of you in the room are project managers? Uh-huh. Yes, you're all in good company. Figure out how much money you're responsible for. What is the end result? When you do what you do well in terms of a project or an initiative that you're responsible for, what does that look like at the end? What would be different for your company or for your business? Does that make sense? Okay. Tina, do you want to volunteer?
Sure.
Okay, so what do you do, Tina? And thank you so much, Jordan. What do you do?
Okay. I drive B2B customers to integrate with Dell Technology, a procurement system that results in $4 billion responsibility.
Okay, so repeat that again for me.
I drive B2B customers.
B2B customers.
Yes, to integrate with Dell Technology procurement system.
Mm-hmm.
That results in a $4 billion responsibility.
So you're responsible for $4 billion responsibility?
Yes, ma'am.
Wow. Oh. What is your title?
That's even funny. I'm a global integration architect.
A global integration architect. Now, if she told me she was a global integration architect, I would be thinking, like, I really love architecture, and I like Frank Gehry, and it's global. I like all of his buildings around the world. But so, do you see what the difference is? When Tina described what it is that, like, what she drives ultimately is four, you said $4 billion? $4 billion. God, that's intoxicating. $4 billion. And I would even shorten it. I would even flip it to make it shorter. Does that make sense? You want to make it short and sexy. I got 5 more minutes. Woo! We are going to jam right now. Okay, I'm going to leave that paper there. Can I control this from here? Okay, great. So the very next thing is, thank you so very much, is creating witnesses. Now, like the proverbial tree falling in the forest, does anybody hear it? Does it make a sound? So when you work hard, you have done the work. The work has value, but does it mean anything to anybody other than you? Creating witnesses means that there are people speaking about you on your behalf that are leveraging their political capital for you. Those are advocates. And many of us, particularly as women, have been taught that we should, oh, I can't brag about myself. I can't say, you don't have to. You can have other people that do it for you. Think about it as being compound interest. Think about it as scaling a business, getting other people to speak for you when you are not in the room. How many of you have, what is that thing called at the end of the year where everybody gets together to decide who gets promoted and who gets promotions? Calibration. Who is speaking for you in that calibration? Your boss is, but does your boss know what to say about you? And have you equipped your boss with what they need to say in terms of what your contribution is? Because your boss may not even realize how much money you're responsible for or what it is that you're delivering and what's different for the organization. So I want you to begin to create witnesses. In fact, I'm going to challenge you to do one thing. I want you to introduce yourself to a head of a functional group in your organization that you don't know. So if you're in operations, I want you to find out who is a person in human resources, who might be a person in, I already said operations, who might be someone in manufacturing. You need to go and know who those people are because they can help you and can be a great resource. Jamie, that guy up there that I really like, if Jamie is smart, what Jamie would do is send out an email to everybody that was there in marketing and say, it was such a pleasure to meet you. In fact, what I want to do is provide you with 1 to 3 steps necessary for you to retrieve documents on your own. If you ever have a question about IT, I can answer it for you. Now, what I would think is that Jamie is the guru of all IT. Like, he knows everything, even though he might only know how to retrieve documents. We know how old that is. But it's powerful because what it does is it creates witnesses. So if somebody comes to that group and asks them next week, Do you know any, you know a guy named Jamie? I'm looking for somebody in IT. They'll go, oh, Jamie is great. He is so helpful, and he is so knowledgeable. So what are the words and the language that people are saying about you? Create those witnesses, because as I said, hard work without a witness is simply hard work, and who the hell needs that? The next is. Do I need to stand here? The old-fashioned way, press a button. Don't audition for the part. Many times what we do is we audition for roles we already have. Like the Nike slogan says, just do it. I want you to provide your insight, your perspective when it's appropriate and necessary, because you're not auditioning for the part. You've already got it. The organization is paying you big bucks for your contribution. And if you're sitting there in silence, you're cheating yourself and you're cheating the organization. Because innovation takes place because people have ideas, because people challenge. So I'm asking you to not audition for the part. Simply be the part. And the very last of the principles is embody your message, making sure you're walking, talking, and acting the part, that you really are stepping into your spotlight. Because, and this is not an EY issue, but you want to walk, talk, and act the part. If you're the subject matter expert, or you're the person that has the insight, own it. Own it. Don't have a qualifier and don't have a filler. Own it. My husband, and I spoke about this morning, who was an only child, whose parents loved him. He set the stage for how he wanted me to receive information and didn't even know it, because as a guy, hell, it's not even a part of his consciousness. My husband walks in the room and says, honey, I have a brilliant idea. It is just astonishing. You have got to hear this. Now, I ain't mad at him, because what he does is he seeds how he wants me to receive the information. If you're in a meeting and it is something that is absolutely essential for everybody to hear, you can simply say that. Stand up and say, excuse me, I need your undivided attention in this moment. This is essential. This will make the difference in this project. Something I want you to listen to, because I want you to challenge me about this. That's when you... So that's one of the things I want you to do in terms of embodying your message, really thinking about what is the language of leadership. Begin to create a glossary for yourself. What are the words that, some people call them power words, but what are the words that people really listen to? You don't have to invent them. But that's what you want to do. And the one thing I want you to do in terms of embodying your message is I want you to do this.
I guess let's start with Stacy. Stacy, what do you do for a living?
I'm a corporate attorney.
Great. And I know you've been on a job hunt. How's that going for you?
Well, I've been interviewing for about 10 months.
And why do you think that is?
Because I sound like a sexy baby.
Which may be great for the bedroom.
Yeah, it is.
But am I really going to hire a sexy baby to defend me in a patent infringement lawsuit? Okay, so over the next 6 weeks, Lewis will be recording your voices, and we will listen to your sounds evolve right before your very ears. Because women should sound like women, not
baby dolls who and everything in a question.
Let's make a statement now. Who's ready to be heard?
That is about ownership, ownership of your voice. How many of you don't like your voice? Okay, so if you don't like your voice, you can imagine what the person on the other end feels like when they get your message. So I'm gonna ask you to do something. I'm gonna ask you to change your voicemail message every day for a week. Yes, every day for a week. And I know you don't like to answer the phone. In fact, most of you don't answer the telephone any longer. But I want you to change your voicemail message. And the reason why I do is I want you to fall in love with your voice. When I was at the airport on my way to Paris, I'd been up for 24 hours, I'm in a red carpet room trying to leave my voicemail message, and this man turns to me and he says, would you please leave it, because I was on my fifth try. And I said, excuse me, how I sound makes a difference in terms of whether or not somebody's gonna return the call. This is important. How your voicemail sounds is so important. So important, because we are living in a very virtual world, and so it's really important that you begin to think about how does the world hear you. Fall in love with your voice. Sound, the way that you want to sound, because you can practice with that. And so if any of what I've spoken about has been helpful to you, I'm going to ask you to do one thing. I'm going to ask you to text me at 69922 and put in the word, text the word heard, and I will provide you with a template that I guarantee you will allow you to drop the mic the next time you begin to speak.
Awesome. I hesitated to come up here. I did not want to stop you from speaking. That was fantastic, Charmaine. Thank you for that. Let's do this. There's more, so do not leave. We get to ask questions of Charmaine. So those things that you were sitting there and hearing and you were like, I just want to ask this one thing, get ready for that. First, let me ask one quick question, if you don't mind.
Please.
You shared so many things that I found myself writing down and really taking note of. If you were to summarize sort of the top three tips that you want each person in this room and on our live stream to sort of take from this conversation,
yes.
Can you do that for us?
I can. So there are a couple things I want you to do. One is I want you to find out how much money you're responsible for. Again, that is really important. I want you to shift your narrative of how you speak about what you do. If you are asking people to do more work, who wants to do more work? No one does. People are trying to get out of work, so you've got to make it sound compelling. So the next time you begin to speak about either a project or what you do, have it sound compelling. So begin to do that. So how much money you are responsible for, how you affect change in the organization. I want you to shift how you speak about what it is that you do. And I want you to look in the mirror and tell yourself how fabulous you are. And on those voicemail messages, I want you to leave a voicemail message to tell yourself that you are bodacious, bold, and how fabulous you are, because it's in your voice. So those are three things I'd like to have you do.
Fantastic. Okay, if you would, please applaud for that. That's awesome. If you would like to ask a question, if you could sort of cue at the two microphones that are there in the aisle, and please don't be nervous about it. Don't be shy.
Okay, now you're going to all get quiet. I'm going to act really rowdy right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we've got one person. Let's go ahead.
To become more effective communicators, what are words or phrases that you think women should stop saying?
I think maybe. That's a qualifier. Do you mind if? And I'm actually going to speak more about what I would want to hear. I have something to say, and it's important, and I need you to listen. The other thing I want to hear women say is, I would love to have your partnership in our success, mine and yours. Will you partner with me so that I can ensure that I'm delivering what I need to do for this organization and for our team? So you ask for the partnership that you want, that prepares a person when they get in front of that calibration or when there's an opportunity for you to speak, they are thinking about you because you've asked for the partnership. We have to ask for what we want.
Fantastic. Next question.
Thank you for being here. This is amazing. I have a colleague who consistently interrupts me with every meaningful thing I try to say. How do I handle that?
Well, a couple things. Is that person taller than you?
No.
Oh.
Maybe, probably. Actually, yes, everyone's taller
than me. Okay, you have the same complex I do.
I'm 5 feet.
I think that I'm a big woman. I think I'm 6 feet tall. Clearly, I'm not. There are a couple things that you can do with that. One is simply saying, when I speak, one of the things that I have experienced is that you interrupt me. I know that you're really passionate about what you want to say, but if you would provide me the respect of allowing me to speak, hear me out.
Excellent. Thank you.
And also just turning to the person and saying, excuse me, I haven't finished, and I'd love to hear what you have to say, but this is important. And if you can, this is touchy in business, this pardon the pun, but literally, I touch the person's arm.
Thank you. They're very helpful.
All right. Let's take a turn here. Go ahead.
Thanks for all the tips you left. How can you share that
if you're working with teams and you drive results with teams, how can you share that? I know one time when we were dealing with an issue and a lot of communication was going forward, and I, as a woman, didn't feel like saying this, but I had to tell the team, stop. Because I knew we needed to communicate the message in the appropriate way. It worked, but sometimes, as a woman dealing with several men, it's hard to tell them, hey, stop, take a step back.
Okay, so first of all, I want to tell you, you did exactly what needed to be done. Stop. Plain and simple. I think clarity is beauty. Stop. And if the person's feelings, quote unquote, are hurt, or they say, oh my God, you know, you're so touchy. Tell me a little bit about that. What does that mean when you say that I'm really touchy? But no, let that person answer. The ownership is on them. That's their job. What we do is make an assumption that we know what that means. We don't. I ask people. So, you know, they say, whatever it is they have to say about me. So tell me a little bit about that. What does that look like?
Fantastic. Next question.
Hi, thank you. This has been super helpful. So I'm wondering, how do you make sure to not overstep the line when you're between being assertive and heard and being considered too aggressive? I've got that feedback.
Yes. So being aggressive, you don't know what someone else thinks. I mean, you can fill the room. But then if the person says, you know, you're being really aggressive, I'm going to go back to what I just shared with the woman here. Can you tell me a little bit, what does aggressive look like? And tell me specifically, this is a word to use, specifically, what does aggressive look like? Or what does aggressive sound like? And let the person answer. I get really quiet. And they say, well, the truth is, Sam, I don't. And that's why your perspective and having you describe this would be very helpful to me, and actually helpful to our relationship. So I'm always extending and being gracious, but the ownership is on that person, not on me.
Thank you.
Very helpful. Next question.
Thanks for sharing all these useful strategies. My question is, what is a recommended strategy for handling a difficult name? For example, I'm an immigrant. I have a very difficult to pronounce name. And sometimes I wonder, should I find a name that's catchy, shorter, so people are not afraid of calling me? What do you recommend?
What is your name?
My name is Yue Jiao. I have a Chinese name. It's difficult to pronounce and difficult to
spell. Break
it down
for me phonetically, if you would, please.
I'm sorry?
If you break it down phonetically for me, please.
Okay. Yue Jiao.
Okay, I need you to go slower.
Yue Jiao.
Pian Chiao?
Yes. It's not the pronunciation that's common in English language.
I understand that, but I did it with the spotlight on me. So other people can do it. This is my philosophy on that. It's like if I call and someone tells me their name is Chuck and I know darn well their name is not Chuck. I'm to be respectful of their name. And if I'm in another country, I've lived abroad, and that person has a different sounding name, I'm going to make every effort to pronounce it because I'm being respectful and because I want them to respect my name. This is personal. My father's name was Waverland, and my father was in sales, was executive, very successful. And one of the things that people would call him is Mike, and I would think, who is Mike? Because his name is Waverland. And for me, I just find that very disrespectful, unless it's something that you are okay with. You can say, my name is difficult to pronounce, and so that I'm going to break it down for you phonetically. People always mispronounce my name, my last name. It's amazing. You did it perfectly. I'm telling you, it's almost, you're like the exception. Just say to them, let's work with this, but over time you'll be able to do it with ease. And they'll go, oh, okay, I'll do it. But you shouldn't have to be Martha because they think they can't pronounce your name.
Thank you.
Thank you. So we'll take one more question.
Hi there. I just wanted to say I appreciated your last point, as my name is Laura, and I make sure that people I'll take the 2 seconds to teach someone how to say that because it's important to my culture. But as for my question, I've stepped into a role that has more responsibility than was originally attributed to it. I've been told that I'm doing a very good job in that new role, but my valuation in their eyes and financially hasn't changed. So how can I step out and be very bold and confident when my organization doesn't seem to value me in the same way?
Someone said it this morning, it's, you know, working at a company is sort of like dating. I think of it always as dating. You can always get another boyfriend or girlfriend. Sometimes they're not the one that appreciates you. But look at what the marketplace bears. And when you think about what you're doing, look at what other companies are paying and what that title is called based on that level of responsibility. So do you come in with data? I don't believe in going with emotion, but come in with data. What I look is at the industry. If I look at the industry is, this is titled blah, blah, blah. This is what the pay range is. And do you see that this is going to change for this organization? If they say no, then they've already told you. But you can let them know that this is what my contribution is. And let's be fair and equitable. Because Sam, I'm sure like me, you would not accept the role if you were not appropriately compensated for it. So let's talk about how we can make this fair and equitable for me and for the organization. I want to continue to contribute. And we can also talk offline on that one very specifically.
Okay. Thank you. Love your dress.
Yes. Last question. Thank you all for today's session. Let's please thank Charmaine for all of the useful information. Yeah. Fantastic. I want to remind you all, Charmaine does have an ebook. It is out on our app. It's on the website. Bless you. You can find it under Executive Success Principles. So please be sure to check that out. And thank you all again for being here today and being so actively involved.
Something I want to say to you all. There's 2 things I want to say right before we leave. One is that you are now equipped with what you need to step out boldly, to really take your rightful place, to shift how you see yourself and how other people see you. And your playing small really does not help anyone. I want you to show up powerfully and really bold, because life is short, and we've got to be really intentional about it. We don't know if tomorrow isn't promised, but this day, make it count, and make tomorrow count. So you're going to change your voicemail. You're going to introduce yourself to functional people in the organization. And I will be here for the remainder of the day, and I would love, I'd be honored to hear your stories to help you. So please, I'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much.